The prisoners. Kossil's steps sounded along the hallway of the small house, even and deliberate. The tall, heavy figure filled the doorway of the room, shrank as the priestess bowed down, touching one knee to the floor, swelled as she straightened to her full height.
Mistress.
What is it, Kossil?
I have been permitted to look after certain matters pertaining to the domain of the Nameless Ones until now. If you so desire, it is now time for you to learn and see and take charge of these matters, which you have not yet remembered in this life.
The girl had been sitting in her windowless room, supposedly meditating, actually doing nothing and thinking almost nothing. It took some time for the fixed, dull, haughty expression of her face to change. Yet it did change, though she tried to conceal it. She said, with a certain slyness,
"The labyrinth?"
"We will not enter the labyrinth, but it will be necessary to cross the undertomb."
There was a tone in Kossil's voice that might have been fear, or might have been a pretense of fear, intended to frighten Arha. The girl stood up without haste and said indifferently, "Very well." But in her heart, as she followed the heavy figure of the God King's priestess, she exulted, "At last! At last! I shall see my own domain at last!" She was 15. It was over a year since she had made her crossing into womanhood, and at the same time had come into her full powers as the one priestess of the tombs of Atuan, highest of all high priestesses of the Kargad lands, one whom not even the God King himself might command. They all bowed the knee to her now, even grim Thar and Kossil. All spoke to her with elaborate deference. But nothing had changed. Nothing happened. Once the ceremonies of her consecration were over, the days went on as they had always gone. There was wool to be spun, black cloth to be woven, meal to be ground, rites to be performed. The 9 chants must be sung nightly, the doorways blessed, the stones fed with goat's blood 2 a year, the dances of the dark of the moon danced before the empty throne. And so the whole year had passed, just as the years before it had passed, and were all the years of her life to pass so? Her boredom rose so strong in her sometimes that it felt like terror. It took her by the throat. Not long ago she had been driven to speak of it. She had to talk, she thought, or she would go mad. It was Manon she talked to. Pride kept her from confiding in the other girls, and caution kept her from confession to the older women. But Manon was nothing, a faithful old bellwether. It didn't matter what she said to him. To her surprise, he had had an answer for her.
"Long ago," he said, "you know, little one, before our 4 lands joined together into an empire, before there was a god-king over us all, there were a lot of lesser kings, princes, chiefs. They were all quarreling with each other, and they'd come here to settle their quarrels. That's how it was. They'd come from our land Atuan, from Karego At and Atnini, and even from Hur At Hur, all the chiefs and princes with their servants and their armies. And they'd ask you what to do. And you'd go before the empty throne and give them the counsel of the Nameless Ones. Well, that was long ago. After a while, the priest kings came to rule all of Karego At, and soon they were ruling Atuan. And now, for 4 or 5 lifetimes of men, the god kings have ruled all the 4 lands together and made them an empire. And so things are changed.
The God-King can put down the unruly chiefs and settle all the quarrels himself. And being a god, you see, he doesn't have to consult the Nameless Ones very often.
Arha stopped to think this over. Time did not mean very much here in the desert land, under the unchanging stones, leading a life that had been led in the same way since the beginning of the world. She was not accustomed to thinking about things changing, old ways dying and new ones arising. She did not find it comfortable to look at things in that light. The powers of the God-King are much less than the powers of the ones I serve, she said, frowning.
Surely, but one doesn't go about saying that to a god, little honeycomb, nor to his priestess.
And catching his small brown twinkling eye, she thought of Kossil, high priestess of the God-King, whom she had feared ever since she first came to the place, and she took his meaning.
But the God-King and his people are neglecting the worship of the tombs. No one comes.
Well, he sends prisoners here to sacrifice. He doesn't neglect that, nor the gifts due to the Nameless Ones.
Gifts? His temple is painted fresh every year. There's 100 weight of gold on the altar. The lamps burn attar of roses. And look at the hall of the throne. Holes in the roof, and the dome cracking, and the walls full of mice and owls.